Happy Mother's Day. As you leave, moms, don't forget to pick up a carnation on the way out. We have them in buckets at each of our doors. If you go through the pastor bypass door, you will miss them. We are in a series about marriage and the family. Last week, we stepped into the ring to fight for a healthy and a happy marriage that all of us want and dream of. We started by talking about expectations, his expectations and her expectations. If you were not with us last week for that message, you will find it along with all the sermons in this series on our website at www.mohammedchristian.org. This series is applicable to you, whether you are married, engaged, single, dating, or just got one picked out. We all need help in our relationships because God designed men and women so differently. Sometimes it's almost comical. Wouldn't you agree? As we dive right into this morning's message, let me start by saying most difficulties in marriage come because men and women are totally different. Last week I left you with some homework, and that was to try to get into your spouse's box. Try to see how you can serve them better. And then stop talking and listen. And that's hard, I know. Because men, we naturally see things through blue lenses. It's what we put on every day. And women, you see things through your pink lenses. It's what you do every day. And men, when we peer into her box with our blue lenses, we think, well, that makes no sense at all. And women, you do the same thing. When you peer into his box with your pink lenses, you think, he's a little bit broken. And we do this to each other all the time. But we have to understand God made and designed us differently. Here's the problem we're dealing with, I believe. In our culture, we are being told more than ever there are no differences between men and women. In my opinion, it's one man's opinion, but it's a man's opinion that I respect very much. In my opinion, this is one of the most dangerous attacks on marriage, on the family, on the home, and on our society today. Did you know that scientifically, and you can look this up for yourselves, that almost every cell in a man's body has a different chromosome makeup than every cell in a woman's body? Almost every cell is different. So make no mistake about it. We have some similarities, but God designed us very differently on purpose. Now here's the problem. When you walked into your relationship or your marriage, how much training did you have on the differences? Not much, I suspect. Isn't it ironic that to get a plumber's license, it takes 6 years of training? You know how much training it takes to get a marriage license? Zero. All you need is two willing people with a valid government-issued ID and $75. Plus the $200 for the preacher. Marcia, we just had three weddings canceled. The point is, if you want to have a successful marriage, you need to start understanding these differences on a much deeper level. And that's what we're going to be doing for the next 2 weeks. As we close out this series on marriage and the family, we're going to be looking at the top five needs of a woman and the top five needs of a man. Now, these come from a book written by Willard Harley called His Needs, Her Needs. A phenomenal book. If you haven't read it, it is in our church library. You can check it out. But when we look at these five needs, guess how many of them are going to match up? That would be another zero. So we've got some work to do as we dive in and try to understand each other's needs. Today is Mother's Day, so ladies, we're going to put your needs first. And men, I'm going to try to articulate for all of us a woman's top five needs. I'm wading into some dangerous waters, right? I've never been a woman. But I have lived with one for 47 years. And I have helped ever so little raise a couple of them. But most importantly, I have listened to many in serious counseling over the last 40 years. And they have shared many things with me. Many things they wish they could have shared with their husbands. And in almost every case, they tried to share it with them. But they wouldn't listen. So ladies, if I say something that's insensitive or not exactly how you would articulate it, please show me some grace. Men, here's a verse I want us to anchor to this morning. It comes from the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter dives into marriage and he talks about what we did last week, mutual submission. Here's the verse he gives to men. He starts in verse 7. In the same way. He's just talked to women about mutual submission, and now he says to guys, in the same way, here's how you must submit. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. And that word honor means to give esteem, to put them above yourself, above your needs. Then he goes on to say, treat your wife with understanding as you live together. And that word understanding means to discover, to learn. And that's actually something men are really good at. From an early age, we are notorious for taking things apart. Why? Yeah, see how they work. To discover what makes that tick. To learn how this can all happen. And he's saying to men, if you want to make it work in marriage, and everybody, if you want to make it work in any relationship, you better discover, and you better learn, and you better try to understand as much as possible about the other person or persons in this relationship. And by the way, that's an ongoing process. It's not going to come to you overnight. As we walk through these top five needs, men, I'm not giving these to you to beat you up. Not at all. I'm sharing this to give you a sword and a shield so you can be her hero. And ladies, keep the elbows to a minimum, okay? I know, ladies, as I go through these five needs, not all of them are going to resonate with you. Just as men and women are designed differently, so every woman is designed differently from each other as well. But I believe one or two of these will really hit a nerve at some point. Without further ado, let's start. I'm going to start with number five, and we're going to build some suspense to number one. Here's number five, family commitment. Now, this doesn't mean men don't care about their families. It's just your wife sees your contribution to the family away from the family. That is, you work. You work long and hard hours to provide for your family. And that's not a bad thing in and of itself. That's what puts food on the table, puts a roof over our heads. It's how we get clothes and the cars and a lot of nice things. But when you get home, you're done. It'd be nice to do something now and then together as a family. Go to a movie or to the park or a ball game or camping or fishing. And I'm not talking about the everyday running the kids to practice and to their games on the weekends and to their band concerts and traveling all over the state for tournaments. I mean, come on, let's be honest about it. We do so much of that, we begin to pray for rain on game days. I'm talking about being together, doing something together as a family before the kids are all grown and gone. And believe me, that will happen all too quickly. I can't tell you how many times I've heard wives say, when I really fell in love with him, was when I saw how he treated his family. And what women are saying is, I need to know that you're going to be a good dad. And men, where we get confused is, we look at our wives and say, hey, I may not be a great dad, but I'm not mistreating you. But we have to understand, for her, oftentimes, how you treat the kids and what kind of dad you are and maybe even how you treat some of the extended family is linked to the way she feels about how you love her and the love she feels from you or doesn't. That's why I hear women say in their marriage, I feel like all I am is his maid. I feel like all I am is a sex object, but not his partner. It's why we're told in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. So here's what I'm trying to say. She sees a great husband as a good dad, and they are linked more than you know. Here's number four, financial stability. Now, some men start pushing back here and ask, what are you saying? Are you saying all women are gold diggers? No, not at all. If that were true, they probably wouldn't have married you. Or me. Or me. The key word here is stability. She needs stability, which is different from wealth. Most women are not looking to be numbered among the rich and famous. I've heard many wives say they would take a decrease in their standard of living if it meant they could have more stability. Not living paycheck to paycheck. Not having to worry about being able to pay the rent this month. Not having to constantly juggle which bills to pay and which ones to let go. Getting further and further behind, all the while praying nothing else breaks. They just want stability, not riches and wealth. Stability. Here's number three. Honesty and openness. Now this is different from trust. They are linked, but trust is big for both men and women. Men, when we get into a serious relationship like women, one of the hardest things for us to deal with is giving up our independence. Now, that's especially true if you've gotten married later in life. When she asks questions like, where are you at? When are you going to be home? What'd you do today? What'd you do on your business trip? That sounds a little intrusive to us. Like we're being drilled. We feel like saying, get out of my business. No one ever asked me that before. So we have a tendency to give one-word answers. When are you coming home? Sometime. What'd you do on the business trip? Nothing. And when something happens we know she won't like, nothing wrong necessarily, but we know she won't like it, we begin telling what men call protective lies. I'm just not going to tell her everything. Because I know it will upset her, or it will set her off, or she'll take it the wrong way. But then, when the truth comes out, and it always does, when the truth comes out, it can be devastating for a woman because she wants your transparency. She just wants you to be honest with her. There's so much more to be said about that, but let me summarize it like this. Secrecy is the enemy of intimacy. That's why we're told in Proverbs, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Now here's number two, conversation. Almost every study ever done says that women say about 7,000 to 12,000 more words a day than men. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, the tongue is the sword of a woman, and she never lets it become rusty. Now, men, don't you dare write that down. All we really need to know as men is she's going to want to talk and communicate more than we do. And the issue is not the frequency. It's not how much or how often she wants to talk. It's about how we communicate. Here's how I put it in your outline. She needs communication regularly in the right tone and with two ears. She wants you to be a part of the conversation. She wants you to take minimally a part in the conversation. This comes through with her saying to you, you aren't listening to a word I've said. And men, when she says that, huh, is not a good answer. That simply means intentional conversation. One-on-one, a couple of times a week, whatever your wife needs, because remember, everyone's different. And most wives know, and the rest of you listen carefully, most wives know that doesn't mean as soon as you walk in the door. It may play out in your home after dinner. You've had a meal together, the kids have scattered, he's helped you clear the table. And that's just hard to get past that, isn't it? There's a tip for you, man. He's helped you clear the table and you sit down together. You know, no matter how many times you say that, that's funny, isn't it? He helps you clear the table. I help you clear the table, don't I? I will carry something over to the sink on my way to get ice cream. And I will look the table over again when she says, is there any other dishes on the table? He's helped you clear the table. And you sit down together, and for maybe 15 minutes, before you turn on the TV, you have a real intentional conversation. How was your day? How do you feel about that? Just honest connection time. And really, it doesn't have to be long, just real and intentional. No phone, no kids. And here's a tip for you, men. Maybe while you're talking, just reach over and take her hand. Look her in the eyes as you listen. That's an extremely intimate way of telling her you're really here. You're really listening. You're really interested. You really care. Now, men, we have to be careful here because sometimes she may tell you about a problem she's having at work or with the kids or the neighbors or the school or church. And here's our response as men. Huh. Let me fix that for you. And then we go, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. Here, it's all fixed. And she's like, I didn't really want nor need you to fix it. And we're like, then why did you tell me? Why did you do that to me? Now you're just messing with me. Men, this will be hard for you, but here's what I've learned. Women often want to process how they feel about a problem before they want to fix a problem. Believe it or not, men, ladies, tell me if I'm right, but many times your wife can fix her own problems. She just wants to know you're listening to her, trying to understand her concerns and validate her so she can process her feelings about some things. Essentially, men, you're going to have to bite your tongue sometimes. Because this is all so counterintuitive for men. Ladies, you need to understand that. Let me prove that to you. Men, would you ever go to another man and tell him your problem and expect him to listen? No. Oh, well, couldn't get the lawnmower started, huh? Well, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. Did you check the spark plug? Yep. Did you see if you had good gas? Yeah. Well, did you check A, B, C, 1, 2, 3? Okay. And we're done. But understand, God has wired men and women differently. And don't skip over that part. In the right tone. When you've listened to your wife and she has poured her heart out to you, don't get all superior on her and say, no rational, sane person would ever think the way you're thinking. Basically, you've just said what? You're stupid. And the moment you do that, the conversation just shuts down. It's not just what you're saying, it's also how you're saying it. You see, God made women more sensitive than men. And that's a good thing. Praise the Lord for a woman's heart. Am I right? Amen. Let me say it this way. I think God made men like a couple old mugs. When men get into an argument, you know, it's kind of like beat each other up, whatever, bangs and dents. But then we high five and go on. On the other hand, I believe God made women more like this. She's just more delicate. And when you come at her and start beating on her with harsh words, things are going to break. Things are going to go to pieces. And no matter how much duct tape or how much Gorilla Glue you use, it's never going to be the same again. Maybe it would help you remember you're never persuasive when you are abrasive. And that's why we're told, I think, in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Let's move on to number one. Men, can you guess what it is? Sex. No, it's not. If you wrote that down, scratch that out, okay? A woman's number one need is affection. And this is confusing to guys because we view affection and sex the same. And it's not that wives don't like sex. They do. But there are very different views of this word we've been tossing around a lot, the word intimacy. When a woman looks at intimacy through her pink lenses, she sees, I want to be cherished. I want to be valued. I want to be important to you. And when a man looks at intimacy through blue lenses, he's thinking, well, it's pretty simple what a guy's thinking. But the goal is the same. We all want intimacy. It's just how we get it looks differently. And what's so confusing to men, perhaps, is this idea of sexless affection. What's that even mean? When women were asked, what are some of the ways you like to receive affection? No other information given. What are some of the ways you like to receive affection? Here are some of their answers. Hug me. Hold my hand. Schedule a date. Send me some flowers. Write me a card. Call me during the day just to see how I'm doing. Offer to take the kids and give me the time off. Know my favorite things. Know me. Each woman is different. But just know the kinds of affection she needs and is not getting and give that to her. And what that means is, men, you're going to have to become a student of your wife. You're going to have to discover and learn what makes her work. And wives, that means you are going to have to be our teacher. Don't make us guess all the time. Tell us. Teach us. Now, we've been married for 12 years, and if you don't know that by now, I'm not. Sweetheart, if you don't tell him, you're going to be married for 20 years, and he's still not going to know. And the result, not the goal, men, but a result, most wives will tell you, if her intimacy tank is full, yours probably will be later on. Let's say it this way. Affection is the environment. Sex is the event. So men, let's summarize. These are her top five needs. These are not to beat you up. These are to equip you to be her hero. These are to give you a sword and a shield so you can do battle for her. Your takeaway today is simple. Ask your wife or the woman you're dating, which of your needs need my attention the most? And start there. Remember, it's a process. It's not one and done. Ladies, as we close, let me speak bluntly to you. The worst thing you could do with this message is throw it in His face. If He comes to you and tries to move in your direction in any way, you cheer Him on. That's what you do with your other kids. They draw you a terrible picture. And what do? You put it on the refrigerator and you go, "Yeah, that's the cutest horse. It's a dog I've ever seen in my life. Way to go." His efforts may not look great, but women understand, for most of us men, that's new territory we're getting in here, trying to understand you and how to best meet your needs. You are so different. Thank God. His efforts may not look great, but you have to cheer Him on if you want to encourage Him. And men, to you I'd say, if you take some steps to move toward trying to meet her needs, don't expect things to change overnight. Keep taking steps forward. And if it starts to seem hopeless and you feel like surrendering, you just remember, you won her once. You can do it again. And when the grass looks greener on the other side, it's time to water your yard. Now, ladies, we're talking about His needs next week. Don't you dare miss it. Father God, we are different. And we thank You for that. Please help us to put our hearts as well as our ears on mute when our world tries to tell us there are no differences. You have made us totally different. You have created us male and female. Father, we thank You for those differences. It's those differences that bring us together so we can say and so we can feel and so we can know, as both men and women, You're the part of my life that was missing. You're the part of my life that makes me whole. That's how Your word says that when You say You brought the woman to the man and the two would become one. Thank You for completing us. Father, there are some here this morning who may need just look at their wives or husbands. And this morning particularly, we're talking about the women's needs. And just say to her, "Honey, how am I doing? And if I'm not doing so great, tell me where to start." And help our wives and others in our life to tell us. Men are not good guessers. Men are not good mind readers. Men do not intuitively know things like it seems women do sometimes. So, Father, help us together to learn and discover and to teach so we can come to know each other better, serve each other better in mutual submission, and give You even more glory through the lives we live and the witness our marriage gives to others. Father, we see the greatest example of all of that in You. Even You have looked at Your church, those You have died for because You loved us so much, and You call us Your bride. And You want a bride that will be presented to You spotless and without blemish. And so you left us with your word, with your apostles' teachings, with the church itself, with the Holy Spirit, with prayer, with so many things to help us learn and discover more each day of what it is you want from us and what we can do to bring more glory to you. Help us to follow your example, Father, and for the same motivation, because you love us. I want to do this for my wife because I love her. Forgive us where we have fallen short. Let your Spirit pick us up and get us started again. In Jesus' name, amen.